You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
We're so close to the best weekend all year and just can't wait. This week, we're talking to a mom who literally can do it all and sharing tips on how to achieve the holy grail of being able to sit the trot and boast the most unmoving lower leg. Thanks for tuning in. From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks. Welcome to Happy Hour. I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Wasnicka. Welcome to episode 123 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Hey. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello.
Gosh, it's already time for Kentucky. Can you believe it?
Like, this I can't believe it.
Flying by.
I know.
And then before you know it, you're going to blink and then we're going to be at the Olympics. It's crazy.
I know. It's nuts.
But I'm excited. It's such a, like, this is such a fun time of year.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Purina. All right, Jess. So you've got a really fun, hopefully Kentucky inspired drink for us this time.
I did. I even am drinking it right now. So I ended up pouring it. So I made sure it still was as good. I hadn't had one in forever, but it's an old fashioned and it's made a little bit differently. So I found, I don't know, a bit ago that we were at Williams Sonoma and they have great cocktail kind of pre-mixers. And so they have Woodford Reserve old fashioned. And so I decided we'd do that kind of as our drink going into Kentucky, because on the back it's Woodford Reserve, a Kentucky legend is what the bottle says itself. And it is really easy to make. You just in a rock glass, you put together half a part of chilled cocktail mixer to two parts bourbon. This time I did a bourbon rye to kind of switch it up. And then add it with a large ice cube and garnish with an orange twist. I actually garnish mine with cherries. So like two cherries. And so, yes, if you guys have not tried the Williams-Sonoma mixers, you have to try the old fashioned. I've done a couple others. So I thought this was a good kind of start to get ready for Kentucky.
Well, and you got to love an old fashioned, but I've never tried the Williams-Sonoma mixers. It's a good tip.
Yeah. Somebody said, oh yeah, go get it. And Doug's parents love whiskey sours. Like if they come, they're going to drink something. So I was like, oh, this will just be easy. And I don't have to like make the whiskey sour mix. Cause I like usually do like all of that or an old fashioned and like, it kind of gets time consuming. So like with the family in town, I was like, it kind of be nice to not have to worry about like mixing everything. So we tried it for them like one holiday and they're so good.
Ooh, good to know.
Yeah.
Attention horse owners, are you looking to help your horse recover with ease after a strenuous workout? Would you like to nourish your horse and their digestive system? If so, try the Purina Replenimash product. It's much more than a mash. Replenimash promotes hydration, replenishes electrolytes, and supports gastric comfort. Put Purina's research to the test. Stop into your local Purina retailer and grab a bag of Purina Replenimash product.
All right, time for news. I figured we'd start by just like going through the Kentucky, like the 5-star entry list.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're still a little early. Like things could change, right? And we've already seen some early withdrawals, but let's take a look. I mean, Jess, are there any riders that catch your eye? Obviously, Doug, but.
Yes. But no, I think we've got some exciting ones. I know there's a couple withdrawals from Europe that aren't coming already, but there's still some big hitters coming over. We've got, just looking at the list now, I think Testerleg is actually supposed to go to badminton. So I don't know if we'll see Boyd and Testerleg, but you never know. They're still on the list.
Yeah.
Yasmin's coming with a Banzai horse that was second last year. So I'm sure she's coming to, you know, make her mark. We've got another big one coming over is Ollie Townend's bringing the Cooley Rosalind horse. And so you'll know he's coming over with a good one. One of my favorites to watch is that JL Dublin with Tom McEwen. He'll be over there. And then Boyd, I think, is going to bring on Q. So
oh,
I know
wow.
she's a bit older and stuff, but I think we've got quite a big list of horses that have been there, done well, that are coming back to see it. There's some names on there that I don't really know from Europe that are coming. So it will be quite nice to kind of see everybody. I mean, seeing Yasmin in real life last year, I mean, she put in an amazing performance. So, you know, we're hoping Quantum comes out and does well, you know, as a personal kind of like, you know, fingers crossed type thing. But I think he's got a good list. There's not too many in the 5-star. If you look at the 4-star list for the eventing, you've got a lot. I mean, that's even a bigger heavy hitter list from a lot of the American horses, because a lot of the riders, so Quantum's got quite a bit of thoroughbred, and he will recover faster by run. He will go better if he runs the 5-star, and then he'll recover faster in hopes that, like, if he can go to Paris, where some of the horses aren't really, that's not their best prep. Their best prep is to do a lot of shorts and not run a real, real long track, because the Olympics is for sure, you know, it's going to look more like that format. It is 9 minutes, so you are going to need somebody that runs. So I think it's going to be interesting. So,
but for example, like Tammy Smith won't be defending her title.
So she won't. She'll go because I think her best prep is to do the 4-short and then hopes that then he gets picked. You know, soundness always and all that. So you have to make sure, you know, same with Coleman's running his 2 in the 4-short. Will Coleman, he's going to go do that. He felt it was a better prep because it's not much time after late April before you know it. Like you just said, Paris is going to be here. So if these horses need a little bit more time to recover, you know, you like to give them a break after a 5-star. If they kind of need that, you know, they're more the warm-bloody type, they might be on a better track to do the 4-short.
Yeah, I see, like, a lot of the heavy hitter names that we know have way more horses in the 4-star. I see what you're saying. That's interesting. Yeah.
And so you'll see that.
Some of my favorites, like maybe newcomers, maybe younger up and coming riders that I see on the 5-star list. I mean, Emma Klugman is a name we all know. I think the Bront Beach horse, this would be its first 5-star, I think.
I think so.
And I love to see that Phelps is coming back after Mia Farley's great Maryland run.
And they're so nice. Mia is like the sweetest person. And Phelps is the kindest horse. We are able to cross from them. And he's so cool. So I think they could put in a really good performance. And I'll be happy to see her go. And I always love watching Mason, the magic, Mama's Magic Way horse. Audrey's. He's super, super cool to watch cross country.
Amazing.
So hopefully he can keep himself in check and put in a good dressage. And yeah, there's some really, really good ones that I can't wait to watch.
And we're going to talk more about this horse a little bit later in the show. But ever since I saw it go at Maryland, artist Monica Spencer's thoroughbred, I mean, oh my God, that, like, if I could have any horse in the world, it'd be that one.
Oh my gosh. I saw it go at, like, really up close and personal at the Bruce's Field. And I walked up to her and I was like, that is such a cool horse. Like, it's an amazing, amazing horse. She does a great job with it.
Yeah. So I'm excited to learn more. Yeah. Well, okay. So that's our quick insight into the eventing. But what's so great about Kentucky these days is you also have the CSI 4-star show jumping Grand Prix. And Jess, obviously, like, Doug does both. He's also a show jumper. Can you tell us a little bit about the entries?
We're going to be busy. We're going to be a busy, busy Kentucky. But so we're bringing Quantum Leap and Camarillo in the 5-star that we just discussed. We also, so they put on a CSI 4-star. Last year was a 3-star. It's now a 4-star. It's an invitational. So they only have 40 riders able to compete. Some are wild cards, some are off of a world ranking list. So actually 5 of the top 25 riders on the world ranking list are actually going to be competing there. So
Kent Farrington's
coming, Shane Swedenham's coming, Tiffany Foster for Canada's coming, Connor Swale for Ireland, and Daniel Blumen will be there. So those are all ranked in the top 25. But you've also got some pretty heavy hitters like Aaron Vale's bringing the Charisma horse that's been going really well. Todd Minicus will be there. Sam Perot Jr. for Chile. So all these people are kind of using it, same thing, as a very good prep for Paris. You've got Abigail McArdle. She's a lovely, lovely rider. She's coming with a really cool horse. And so the list is still growing. Those entries actually aren't closed yet. So you kind of, organizers and stuff, know which 40 horses are probably coming, so 40 riders, and each rider is allowed to bring 2 horses because they have the Friday night welcome. But then this year you're allowed to bring an additional horse because they have during the day on Saturday. I think it's going to be kind of in between the cross countries. It's definitely before the 5-star cross country. You all actually do a speed class. So we're going to bring the chocolate horse to do that class. And then ideally then the quintessence horse will do the Saturday night class.
Amazing. Gosh, that is pretty busy though.
Yeah, it's a busy, busy week, but it's nice that you can see you're able to bring two horses, which is nice. They've added the second class that they can do that. Before it was just the night class on Friday and the night class on Saturday. And so you'll only see 40 jump on Saturday night, I'm pretty sure is what the format is, or that's kind of what everybody's aiming to do, is that they jump Friday night and then they pick which Saturday class they do.
Got it. I see. Okay. Well, obviously everyone's there to watch the competition, but if you're also going to the horse park for Kentucky, plan to do a lot of shopping. I feel like we always give our great tips and tricks, but we've got some friends who will be in the vendor village that we all, of course, want to give a shout out. Obviously, Patricia, who will be at the Eagle Gold booth, which is booth number 167. They're hard to miss. They're right in front of the big Jumbotron in the arena, like right on the corner in the vendor village. But at the Eco Gold booth, besides getting a lovely saddle pad, you'll also find a few of our favorite things, like zero-proof horse treats will be offered for sale in the Eco Gold booth. Also, Gallagher's water. And a new product that Eco Gold is now going to be the North American distributor for, Kevin Bacon's Hoof Care. And no, it's not Kevin Bacon from Footloose. I already asked. It's a really well-known brand from Europe, which we will talk to you more about in an upcoming episode of the podcast. But you could check out the products firsthand at Patricia's booth. Again, that's booth number 167.
And then also stop by the Horse Illustrated / Young Rider booth, which is 259, to meet Martha and Rebecca, our lovely friends at Trafalgar Square Books. Get ready for a chance to buy pre-releases, copies of the Dear Readers and Riders, Marguerite Henry biography at Kentucky Horse Park on Friday only, beginning at 1 p.m. and going until they run out. They'll only have like a limited supply, so like 100. So make sure you stop by early. You'll hear from us about Marguerite Henry, the new biography, and her beloved collection of books like Misty of Chincoteague, to name one, next month as we prepare for my favorite time of year, Buy a Horse Book Day, which is on May 10th. But before that big day, we'd love to hear from you on how Margaret Henry's book helped inspire a love of horses. So there's going to be a survey that you can take, and we'll share the survey in our horse notes. Or excuse me, in our show notes, not horse notes.
Pretty much the same thing.
Basically.
But yeah, and obviously, Jess, you guys are going to be busy. Your Purina ambassadors. I'm sure Doug will be doing a variety of educational things.
Yeah, so we'll either have signings or be doing different things between Cowboy Magic and Ride Equisafe and Purina and all the things that we all love. So we will be doing all that, and we we'll keep you guys posted with everything on our Instagram. My handle's at Jess Hampf, and Doug's is obviously DP Equestrian. So guys, follow us and make sure, you know, come say hi, and it'll be a busy week, but I'm sure during the mornings we'll be doing a bunch of stuff in the trade fair. So we'll keep you posted.
So guys, I don't know if you saw my video that Justine posted in the Heels Down Podcast Lounge group on Facebook. But there is a new flavor officially out of Zero Proof Horse Treats, and it is a carrot Cosmo, which actually smells so delicious, even to me. It smells of carrot and with a hint of rosemary. They tested it on border horses, and 100% of them loved it. The bag is like bright and yellow and springy, and which was just a great welcome to hopeful warmer weather on my mountain. And we've hyped this all month on social media, and we are really just excited for you guys to try it because it's such a yummy product. I am already out. My horses have eaten it all.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, they seem to like this one a lot. So they are super excited. And like, they're a great product to talk about this week, especially because of Kentucky. All of these ingredients are grown in Kentucky, and their treats actually manufactured with the produced feed that the mill makes. So they're so good. and I put them in my own mouth. Even my dogs try to eat them, but I don't think I would do their dog treats, not their horse treats.
I was going
to
say, they offer dog treats.
I know, but for some reason, my dogs, like, anytime the horse, like, you know, if I give the horse a handful and they drop one out of the side of their mouth, before the horses can get to it, the dogs want it. I'm like, I know it smells really good, guys, but you have your own.
That's amazing. <funny. laughs>
So speaking of product reviews, Jess, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about the safety equipment that you guys use. I remember last year at Maryland, Doug came out in show jumping in his very striking red coat, but he was wearing an air vest over it. And I know that that's sort of a new protocol for you guys, that you are wearing vests whenever you jump. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, why, and then a little bit more about the vest that you guys like and are using?
Yeah. So you guys all know as listeners that I broke my leg last year and was coming back. And to be honest, Catherine at Ride EquiSafe that we all love has been pushing us to try them and at least try it out. And, you know, Doug preaches safety. I mean, he's on the safety committees for the US Equestrian stuff. And he's all about safety, but he was not wearing a vest. And then he was jumping a horse in like the 0.80s. Like, it wasn't very big, but she was pretty naughty. And it was the very first jump. And he landed straight on the rails. And I was just back walking. And we had, you know, 14 horses at the horse show. And I looked and I was like, luckily he was totally fine. Like, everything fine. But at the same time, he might not have been, and he could have broke his ribs or something. And I was like, this is why I think you need to be in a vest. And I just think it would be, you know, you preach the safety and everything else, that I think it would just be something that, like, we had already had one of our clients get a vest. She needed to be in it. So we're like, look, I think it's a good role model as well. We have, you know, lots of kids in our program and adults and everything else. So we went to Catherine's shop and we tried on a bunch of different ones. And Doug really liked the low profile kind of vest that you wear for show jumping. And he liked between the horse pilot and the free jump. He liked both of those. But then the deciding factor that really got him is then we started talking about the cross country vest, the Free Jump X-Air safe cross country vest. And the research and the technology on it is pretty incredible. It's revolutionary because the air's on the inside of it. So most of the time when you think about cross country, we always wear our body protector and then the vest on top. And that's how, you know, I went cross country for so many years. Right. I was one of the first to wear an air vest on cross country. Before it even came to the States, I tried it on in Europe when I was over there competing. And my dad was like, you're going cross country in this vest. I don't really care. I was like, okay. And I've told you guys that story, I'm sure. But it's got the air on the inside, which is interesting. And the air chambers are on either side of your spine. And so whatever is directly, you get the full benefit of the air protection because it's right along your back. And then because it's on the inside, you also get to use a smaller canister, and that equals less air, which makes the whole vest lighter in itself. So the combo of it is lighter than I think any other vest on the market. And because the vest is on the Beta 3 body protectors on the outside, you also don't have to worry. So like if you got studded with an air vest on top, it could puncture the air bladder and compromise and damage the actual vest. Because you've got the heart on the outside, I never even thought about that. Like, if you got stepped on, you still have the air on your inside. So I was like, that's pretty interesting. And what really got Doug was the impact test. It's 4 times more protective, this combo, than an air vest on top of the body protector. And it's 8 times more protective than just wearing a Beta 3 body protector alone. And that kind of research, Doug's like, it's 4 times safer, like, and is more protective. Like, sign me up. So he tried and he likes it. It's very lightweight. It's very lightweight. And they're the first ones to, like, go past the French standard and everything else. So Doug was hooked when talking to the engineers and the researchers and everything else. He's like, I'm done. So he signed up, put on the cross country X-Air Safe vest, and then he started wearing the show jump vest. And now we wear the show jump, like the low profile vest, we wear them almost every time we jump. Like every time we personally jump, we have them on. Whether I'm jumping the hunter over 2 feet or we're jumping, you know, the big guys, we just make it an effort to wear it all the time. And almost everybody in our barn wears them now. And most of our clients are our show jump clients, and they all wear the low profile, and it's designed to inflate away. So, you know, other people have complained about, oh, it feels like you got punched. Well, right. To be honest, we found out that actually means your vest might not be fitted correctly, or it might not be the right vest for your body type. And so when we put them on, like when they fit correctly, it feels like I'm wearing just like a normal vest. Like in the middle of summer, it's very lightweight. Like I put them on, you know, it's always our outside layer, unless you've got a jacket that is designed to go with it's air, you know, air vest right. compatible. But we were very happy. We had the opportunity. Catherine came to the farm, brought us a ton of different ones. And that's when, you know, a bunch of our clients have the free jump. They have other models. I personally ride in the Equitim, who is actually made by Free Jump, but it's more of a tailored fit and it fit like my body type better. So I didn't go with the traditional Free Jump that a lot of our other clients did, because that comes in a tall size too. So our clients that have got long torsos, or they're not 5'4 like I am, they fit in the Free Jump a bit better. So, you know, they all come in different sizes and different options, but we've been, yeah, our whole barn is pretty hooked. And then, you know, Doug wears his above, you know, on top of his pink coat and everything else. And everybody, that's where it kind of stands out. People see it and they're like, oh, you're in an air vest. But without the pink coat, a lot of people don't even notice we have our vest on.
So I feel like another common complaint people always say is like, oh, it's going to spook my horse when it, you know, does its job and actually is inflating. But I feel like at that point you are being ejected, right?
Well,
like,
personally, I don't want the horse near me. So, I mean, and it doesn't spook them. Like half the time, like, you know, we've jumped off and everybody does it, jumps off. They just stand there. I mean, all of them. But if it was going to spook my horse, to be honest, like I don't want it to be on top of me. Like, so if I, right. you know, I fell off in it, I was jumping one of the babies and, you know, I kind of gave a little bit too much and like a little bit, you know, forward with my body and it just dropped me. And it, you know, it was kind of nice to land in the air vest. I got right back up, caught my horse, you know, went back inside, changed canisters. Actually, I was being lazy that time. I didn't even change the canister. I borrowed one of the client's vest because I was like, I don't have time. I need to get back on the pony. So I just stole one of her vest and jumped it the rest of the time and then, you know, fixed my canister.
Interesting.
Well, it's really easy to do.
Obviously, we love Catherine at Ride EquiSafe, who provides so much knowledge. Like, if you're interested in learning more about vests of any kind, helmets of any kind, I find her Instagram feed to be such like a huge wealth of knowledge. She shares all kinds of tips and tricks there. But I know you've got a little coupon code.
I do. So I was speaking with Catherine about the talking points, you know, because I knew I was not going to get everything about the cross-country vest and all the data that's so impressive and everything. And she was like, you know what? This is great. Before Kentucky and right after, she is actually going to do 10% off any safety product online at rideequisafe.com. You can also call for a free no obligation consultation, and you can do that anytime. Like, she's great. You call, she'll tell you what kind of vest is what she's thinking. She'll do a virtual fitting for you, all of that. And the promo code is don't fall off. And it is good through May 15th.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought, great. 10% off. That's amazing. Cause she's got safety stirrups. She's got helmets, like tons and tons of safety equipment.
And fitting, because it's spring. And even if you're not going to Kentucky, we might have some spring jitters.
Yes.
So safety stuff is very important.
And if you guys have questions about safety equipment or want to know more about the vests that Jess or Doug wear, you're always welcome to post in the Facebook group.
Yeah,
we're happy
absolutely.
To answer any questions you have. LiveEq is a free app for equestrians, and it's breaking down the barriers and making the sport more accessible to everyone. The app connects riders with local opportunities like riding lessons, horse leasing, and even equestrian jobs. You can check it out by going to liveeq.com. That's liveeq.com. All right, everybody. Our first guest on this episode is a familiar name. Amelia Newcomb is a dressage trainer based in California. You probably know her from her very popular YouTube channel and all of her amazing free educational videos and PDFs on her account, Amelia Newcomb Dressage. Welcome, Amelia. Thanks so much for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
So we wanted to have you back on because I know you're about to kick off a new rider challenge, which starts in May. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about this one. I understand it focuses on sitting the trot, right?
Yeah, so I'm super excited. This is a brand new 30-day challenge all about learning to sit the trot. I feel like sitting trot is one of the most difficult things for riders to learn how to do well. And the challenges are just so much fun because they are a commitment and there's a lot of excitement with everyone working towards a common goal. So it puts a date in your calendar and gives you something to work towards, especially since it's spring, summer is coming, and it's just a great time to get in some quality riding.
That's awesome. So this could not be better timed for me personally. I have always struggled with sitting the trot. And before my horse had an injury, we were moving, we're preparing to move from first level to second level where you sit the trot in the tests. And now that he is back from rehab, like we're gearing back up with that same goal. So I'm really excited to participate in this challenge. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit, for, like having that background about me personally, I just understand how difficult it can be to coordinate the sitting trot. And I was wondering if we can start with you trying to describe what it's supposed to feel like. Like, how do you know when you're doing it right and you're not just bouncing all over the place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I totally feel your pain. I've never been like a super natural rider. When I was first learning to ride as a kid, I remember the other girls at my farm would just sit the trot and they made it look so easy. And I always felt so uncoordinated. And I know a lot of riders feel like you, you know, where they want to move up a level and the sitting trot is holding them back. So a couple of things that I think are really important. I think the first one is that your horse is prepared, because the more forward and round and through and correct that your horse is in their way of going, the easier it is for you to sit the trot. And that's one thing that we really cover in the challenge is how to get your horse ready. And then the other side of that is how to get yourself ready and really breaking down, okay, here's what your hips need to do. Here's what your legs need to do. Here's what your feet and your ankles should do in the stirrups. Here's what your head should do. Here's what your arm should do. And I know that that really helped me as a rider when I understood what my body needed to be doing. So I think that that will really help you as well, because the truth is that when your horse is doing the right thing and when you understand what to do, sitting trot feels amazing. Like it's this amazing feeling of connection and harmony and balance with your horse. It's always physical. Like sitting the trot is a physical activity. Your heart rate is going to go up. But the beauty of it is that it is this magical connection with your horse's movement.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better because I feel like sometimes I'm working too hard, but you should be working pretty hard.
Yes and no. I mean, you should be working in the right way. If you're working hard to keep your horse going forward, that's not good. But what you should be working hard at doing is really absorbing the motion of your horse. So your core is what really should be working hard in the sitting trot.
We're all expected, right, to be able to sit the trot, just like posting at the trot. But I don't think it's ever really explained why you would use one over the other. What is the benefit of sitting the trot compared to posting?
Yeah, that is a great question. So the benefit of sitting trot is that in the sitting trot, you are always connected with your feet to the horse's motion. So in riding trot, you're going up and down, in and out of the saddle. So your weight is more inconsistent. In sitting trot, you're always there. Your horse is always feeling your weight in the saddle. The other reason that sitting trot is useful is because in posting trot, you really can only put your leg on when your seat is in the saddle. So try it next time when you're riding. Try to put your leg on when your bum is out of the saddle in posting trot. And you'll notice that that's really difficult to coordinate. So the reason sitting trot is helpful is because in sitting trot, you can apply your leg aids in a better timing. So for example, you know how your trainer always says, sit the trot a few steps and then ask for canter. The reason you sit the trot before you ask for canter is so that you can apply your leg in the correct timing, which is when your horse's outside hind leg is on the ground. And same thing for lateral work. It's easier to do lateral work in sitting trot because you can put your aids on in the correct timing.
That makes a lot of sense. So, and I think that's so important for a lot of people to understand. And it's definitely something that I try to tell my students. And I know sometimes, right, when horses and riders get first together, right, and they're trying to get the hang of the sitting trot, you can get a lot of different responses, hollow in the back, you know, pinning of ears. And I know a lot of people don't want to hurt or annoy their horses. How can they introduce more of the work themselves to practice and get better while not bugging their horse along the way?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't think anyone wants to make their horse uncomfortable. And certainly bouncing on your horse's back is not nice for them because their back is super sensitive. So it's all about really properly warming your horse up, making sure that they're forward, making sure that they're round. I always like to do a little bit of canter work and then save the sitting trot for the very end. The other things that you can do are out of the saddle, of course, always working on your fitness, like going to the gym, working on your core. I really like doing Pilates. I find that that's a great exercise that helps me with my riding. You have to have a combination of flexibility and strength in order to sit the trot well. And then honestly, like visualizing, really watching other riders, really understanding what their hips and what their legs and what their feet are doing, that can also really help you to be able to sit the trot better. And inside the challenge, I have some really great exercises to help you introduce the sitting trot more easily. And one of the biggest things too is it's quality over quantity. So you're better off to sit the trot really well for 5 or 6 steps and then go up to posting trot rather than trying to sit the trot forever where you start bouncing and you get tired and your horse gets tired. So that way you're really creating the correct muscle memory, both for you and for your horse in the sitting trot.
Okay, you're actually kind of leading into my next question, because I'm kind of curious, you know, especially with bigger moving horses and when you're getting the hang of it, sometimes you can get knocked out of balance. Like you said, like you'll have like a few good strides and then you're like, whoa, now it's fallen apart. What are they doing wrong and how can they be more still in the sitting trot?
Yeah, another good question. So one thing that I really like to do is focus on the rhythm. So rhythm is the base of the training scale. And the more that you can keep a steady tempo and rhythm, whether you're in posting or sitting trot, that's really going to help you to stay balanced. Because a lot of times what happens, say you're posting trot and you go sitting trot, next time you're riding, notice, does your horse tend to slow down or does your horse tend to speed up when you go into the sitting trot? And a lot of times, for example, if your horse slows down, that's going to tip you a little forward. If your horse goes too fast, again, you're going to get out of balance. So a great exercise to introduce sitting trot is to count. Start in posting trot and just count like up, down, 1, 2, 1, 2. And then sitting trot and keep counting that nice steady beat. And then alternate and go back posting, sitting, maintaining that steady beat. And that will really help you to stay better balanced and in better sync with your horse's big bouncy trot.
Awesome. That makes so much sense.
So Amelia, I got another one for you. As I'm listening to your answers and I'm trying to visualize myself sitting the trot in the saddle, what should my legs be doing when I'm sitting the trot? Generally, I feel like I'm trying to grip too much sometimes with my calves and my ankles to keep me steady. But how do I find that balance without gripping to hold on?
Another good question, because gripping is definitely one of the most common mistakes riders make because no one wants to fall off. And so you want to grip with your legs. The problem with gripping is that if you think about the trot motion, it's kind of like the horse's back goes up and down like a trampoline. And when you grip with your inner thighs, when the horse's back drops down, your bum stays up out of the saddle. And then when your horse's back comes up again, your bum and the saddle collide, which is not nice for you or for your horse. So what you want to think about with your legs is that you drape your legs around your horse, like a wet washcloth, just kind of like they're draping around your horse's rib cage. You want to think about your heels staying down, and your ankles need to move a little bit to absorb the shock of the trot. But sometimes if I have a student that's having trouble sitting the trot, I'll say down, 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 down with their ankles every single stride. And that can really help them to understand that feeling of keeping their heels down and draping their legs around. And then as far as, you know, because you do need to be able to put your leg on. When you put your leg on, you put your leg on with your outer hip muscle, which is your glute med muscle. So your glute med is kind of on the outside of your hip or your bum. And that is the muscle that you actually want to use to engage to put your leg on. It's not your inner thigh. It's more your outer hip or your outer thigh that gets your legs wrapped around your horse for the sitting trot.
Got it.
So I have a question. So when I'm practicing the sitting trot, is it actually better to do it with or without stirrups? And why would you say whichever one?
That's another good question. There's definitely advantages to both. So when you're riding and you have your stirrups, about 80% of your weight or the weight of your torso goes into your seat bones, and about 20% of your weight goes into your stirrups. So just like when you're standing on the ground, your stirrups do help for you to stay grounded and balanced in the saddle. So when you have your stirrups, you should feel even pressure in both your left and your right stirrup across the ball of your foot. That's something to think about when you're doing the sitting trot. Now, the advantage to practicing without stirrups is when you drop your stirrups, now all of the weight is going into your seat. So it puts more weight down into your seat, and it just gives you a different kind of feeling and activates different muscles in your body. So you can feel the sitting trot a little bit differently. So I like to practice sometimes without sitting trot and then take my stirrups up again and then do it with sitting trot. Some riders actually prefer sitting the trot without stirrups. So I don't know. Huh. Some people like that. But it's great to be able to do it both ways. Although for a beginner rider, I usually have them start with stirrups just because they feel a little bit more secure that way.
So Amelia, I mentioned that I'm schooling second level at home where the sitting trot is what you do in the test. So the hardest part for me is asking for going from that working trot to a medium trot and staying balanced in that transition while being in a sitting position. Do you have any tips on how to show a true change from working to medium while maintaining balance and tempo?
Yeah, so again, I think one of the hardest things in the medium trot and what happens a lot is that when you go into that medium trot, often your horse will want to follow or rush or they'll drop their back a little bit. And so that's why it's hard to stay sitting when your horse goes forward to that medium trot. So a couple of things that are great to practice are smaller transitions where you just go from collected trot, medium trot, a few steps, back to collected trot, medium, a few steps. Don't try to do the full diagonal because that is just too long. And like I said, it's quality over quantity. So just do a few steps and then come back. Do a few steps and then come back. The other thing that I like to do to develop my medium trot is sometimes alternating posting and sitting. And there's various different things you can do. For example, what you could do is you could come through the corner, go on the diagonal, and then start your medium trot in posting. And then once your horse is in the medium trot, go to sitting trot. Hmm. Or alternatively, you could start your medium trot in sitting trot. And then when you feel like your horse starts to drop their back or you start bouncing, then go to rising trot. So just kind of mixing it up in different ways that really is going to help you with your medium trot. And then also remember, when you go from collected to medium, keep your horse round and soft, because a really good medium trot shouldn't be harder to sit than a collected trot. If it's harder to sit, it's probably because your horse has gone on the forehand or they've dropped their back, which means that their hind legs are trailing behind them, and that's why it's harder for you to sit.
Got it.
So with wrapping up all these questions, you've done challenges in the past. With the challenge you have coming up, it's officially starting May 1st. What are some of the biggest takeaways that your students tell you about your previous challenges?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The challenges are just amazing. And it's kind of a funny story because I have a friend and she has a bodybuilding business and she does all these 30-day challenges. And she was like, Mary, you should do one. And I think as horse people, we all know that horses and riding, it's a lifelong journey. And it takes time to develop ourselves as riders and also to develop our horses up the levels in their training. And so part of me was like, really, 30 days? Like, are we going to be able to do anything in 30 days? But what was amazing about the challenge is just when you set your mind to something and when you set a deadline and when you commit to doing something, it gives you a goal and it gives you a mission. And when you're with this incredible group of students and everyone is working on the same education and the same process and the same goal, and everyone is helping one another, and you have your calendar and you're checking off the boxes and you have your before video and you're working toward your after video, it's amazing what you can accomplish. So the challenge is about giving you a mission, and you can do anything for 30 days. So it's spring. It's the perfect time to commit to your riding and make some goals for the summer. And the challenge is just the best way to do that.
I think you nailed it, Amelia. I did the 30 days to round challenge through your program, and it helped me tremendously with young off the track thoroughbred that I took to the thoroughbred makeover. It was a major game changer. And then I also just appreciated the community the program offers. You meet so many other people who are like you and are committed to reaching a goal with their riding. So it was a lot of fun to kind of track your progress with other people who were also in the program. So if you're interested in doing this 30-day sitting trot challenge, I really recommend it. It's super fun. It feels very collaborative, and you will learn so much. So Amelia, before we let you go, can you tell us where our listeners can find more information on where to sign up for your 30-day sitting trot challenge?
Yeah, if you just head over to my website, amelianewcombdressage.com, there'll be a banner up there where you can sign up. The challenge officially starts May 1st, and we're giving away $10,000 to the top 10 transformation. So just to inspire you a little bit, I do recommend signing up early, though, so that you have time to start going through the content and get oriented and really map out and plan your 30 days. And this challenge is also for riders. If you feel like, I'm not quite ready to sit the trot, I don't know if I'll ever be able to sit the trot, if you hate sitting the trot, this is for you, because we really go through the basics of how to get your horse ready and helping you understand what to do with your body so that you can sit the trot with ease and that it doesn't have to be this big roadblock that's holding you back from making progress in your riding. So I'm super excited. May is going to be an awesome month.
Awesome.
Is your horse suffering from itchy, irritated skin? Don't let them be miserable any longer. Kinetic Vets EquiShield CKHC is a veterinarian developed solution for bacterial and fungal dermatitis in horses. Its powerful formula combines three ingredients to fight bacteria, tackle fungus, and soothe inflamed skin. EquiShield CKHC comes in a convenient shampoo for full body application, a salve for targeted relief, and a spray for on-the-go treatment. For widespread infections, simply apply the shampoo, let it sit, then rinse. Follow up with the salve or spray for extra relief. See the difference EquiShield CKHC can make for your horse's skin. visit Kinetic Vet or ask your veterinarian to order today.
Our next guest is Monica Spencer. She's a 5-star event rider from New Zealand. She helped secure a 3rd-place finish for New Zealand at the 2020 World Equestrian Games in Petroni. She recently moved her young family, multiple horses, from New Zealand to America, where she has continued to campaign at the advanced level. The first time we saw, or I actually personally saw Monica go, was at the Maryland 5-star last year. Can you tell me a little bit about him? My 5-star horse is actually from New Zealand as well. So how'd you find him and what had he done before you bought him?
Max, he was 4 years old when I brought him. So I saw him at his first show. He was just there doing a little jump round. So he hadn't really done anything when I got him, and I've just produced him up the levels from there, and he's now 12.
Oh, wow. Oh, so he's still young.
Yeah.
And was Marilyn your first 5-star with him?
Yes, it was. Okay. I did do Adelaide 5-star, and I led us a dressage on a 24, and then I fell off cross country. So,
oh, no. That's a bummer day. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. It was my first completion at 5-star,
oh, perfect.
My second attempt.
Well, but it was a pretty amazing finish, so definitely, definitely better. But we are excited to see you at Kentucky next week in the 5-star. How have you spent the winter in Ocala? How have you been kind of preparing him? And we know you did Bruce's Field. And what else have you done to, you know, kind of prepare him? And are you still in Ocala or have you moved on to Kentucky?
So yeah, Bruce's Field was a great event to get out to. There was plenty of crowds there, which was good for him to get out and about in front of some people. Yeah, so that was great. And then since being in Ocala, we've done a little intermediate run at the Florida Horse Park and also went to Terranova and did the 4-star short there. And that was a beautiful venue. And
I've heard that's beautiful. There. We haven't been, but we've talked about it on the show and stuff. And we definitely want to make our way down there because I heard that venue is absolutely beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was everything it promised to be. And the group of people running the show were very accommodating and looked after everybody super well. It was, the details are definitely taken care of at that venue, and the ground was perfect. And the stadium jumping was, you know, beautiful atmosphere, lovely surfaces. So it's definitely worth the trip there to do that one.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So Monica, first I have to fangirl for a moment. I'm a thoroughbred person. I'm a low-level adult amateur eventer, but from the moment I saw you on Artist at Maryland, I was like, wow, I just love him. He's a lovely horse. And it's been tremendous to watch you ride him. And I'm very excited to watch you in Kentucky. And I'm so glad you're here. But You picked up your whole life. You're a mom, you've got young kids, you have a husband, you have not just the Artist horse, but you have plenty of others, young horses in your string, and you just decided, like, I'm going to move all the way across the world to America. And I imagine that was a ton of work. So can you tell us about what made you want to make that big jump, and how was the move, and how are you feeling? How's everything going?
Okay, well, it's lovely to meet a fan, and I'm glad you like my horse. He's a pretty cool guy. So, gosh, what sparked the move? Well, after World Champs in 22, you know, it was a big deal to get selected from down under, because our high performance team is based in England largely, and so I kind of was, you know, I'd ticked that box that I'd, you know, been selected from home, and I was kind of, you know, ready for the next challenge and just wanted to do things a little differently. And you know, America was looking pretty bright from where we were sitting. And so we came over to Maryland to kind of do a little trial and see if we liked it. And yeah, we loved it here, loved the people, loved the opportunities. And so we decided to leave Max here, Artist, and then went home for the summer to campaign my other horses that were back home. And we just narrowed down the team and sold a lot of horses and narrowed it down to 3 others that I brought back here with us in February. and we leased out our farm, and yeah, here we are. Really?
Oh my goodness. That's great.
So as someone who moved just in the United States from state to state, which I thought was big enough, but you definitely gave the cake on that one. What are the biggest differences you see in the sport from America versus at home in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, the sport's the sport, really. Like a 60 by 20 arena is still 60 by 20 down in New Zealand. And we have like international judges come there just like you do here. And, you know, we have great course builders and it's all great. But probably the main difference is the money behind the sport and the people that come to watch you compete, the crowds. Like back home, we wouldn't get crowds watching us. So, yeah, just a bit more hype around the sport, really.
Oh, wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good thing. So I live here in Florida, and it's been very cool to see you around in Ocala this winter season. And you mentioned you were in Terranova, which is essentially in my backyard. It is a lovely place. But now you're in Kentucky. So what's it been like, I guess, now that you've been in Florida, now you're in Kentucky, what it's been like training and riding and getting, I guess, finding your groove here in the U.S.?
Well, our trip from Florida to Kentucky was pretty eventful. We had a series of unfortunate events. A 12-hour trip turned into a 20-hour trip.
Oh, no.
there was a lightning storm, and then one of the horses got a bit stressed and tried to colic on me. And then so we spent a couple of hours in a church car park in the middle of Atlanta City. And then we got a blowout, and then we decided to get all the tires replaced because we were like, this is not happening again. So once we actually got to Kentucky, we were very relieved.
Well, thankfully you went so many weeks early, to be honest.
I know. I was, because my horse, I just wanted to get the big guy here and get him settled and get him on a few hills, because I found Florida quite flat.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he settled in nicely, and we're going well here. We're at a beautiful farm called Stone Column, and we've got a nice stable and nice paddocks for the horses, and we're here till after Kentucky, and then we actually head to Carolina.
Oh, cool.
Where are you going in Carolina?
So we're going actually to Southern Pines. I met Will Forgery at the Bruce's Field event.
Yep.
And he was very pro his area for a good place to base, and it's attractive to us because you can stay there all year round.
We're about an hour and a half north of Fawdry.
Yes. Yeah. No, I did know that. Yes.
We love the area because you can be here year round. You don't have to go to Ocala. You know, I mean, you can go, and we go for weeks at a time, but yeah, we're very, very fond of the area, just like Fawdry is. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, it was nice of him to offer to show us around, and
yeah.
So we've booked at a little livery yard just across the street from him. We've booked for the month of May. So
excellent.
And we'll do try on with the young horses.
Yep.
And past that, we don't have any plans. So.
You're doing the grand tour, though.
Exactly.
I mean, you're really hitting all the highlights.
You're hitting everywhere on the East Coast.
Gosh. And between Artist and your string of young horses, I mean, you seem so incredibly busy. And we're not even talking about your family, your mom, your kids, and your husband. How do you manage it all?
Well, gosh, we've come from, like, so back home, I ran a yard and had people base with me and things. So really, I mean, we've got our camper. It's me and my husband, and he's amazing, you know, and looks after Gus when I'm riding, and most of the time, really, he's like super dad. And it kind of weirdly feels like the simple life here, you know. We've only got our four horses to worry about and our two-year-old son. But we don't have, you know, we don't have our own property or all my sort of clients or people that I'm teaching yet. So at the moment, we're just enjoying traveling around and getting to know America and waiting for opportunities, really. And
yeah,
just going with the flow. Yeah.
That's awesome. Since you've been on the road a lot, you've seen a lot of like the highways of America. Do you have a favorite American fast food yet? Have you been to a Buc-ee's?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I haven't been to a Buc-ee's.
Never? Oh my God.
No.
No, I've never been to a Buc-ee's, but I must say the options for fast food here are extensive.
Oh, is true.
Probably the scariest thing about traveling around is all the trucks, how they swerve around on the motorway, and you're kind of just hoping that one doesn't swerve into you.
100%. It's so terrifying to drive.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But other than that, our experience here has been brilliant so far, and everyone's super friendly, and yeah, we're really enjoying it. And it definitely seems like the land of opportunity that everyone says it is. So yeah, we're just excited and happy to be here, yeah, and see where these horses lead us. Aren't horses incredible, the journeys they take us on?
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be cheering for you at Kentucky, and we wish you all the best with artists, and we will be cheering you all away.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. That's awesome. And I'll be listening out for those cheers at Kentucky. I need all the encouragement I can get.
We will all be there. Absolutely.
All right, guys. It's time for Rose and Thorn. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
All right. Let's hear what you got.
Well, I have a really like amazing story for my Rose, because it takes a village, literally, and not even just in your village. So it was really cool. So I'm sure you guys saw that High Gain and Hay Gain both went bankrupt.
Yes.
So they are done. Like, you cannot buy hay steamers anymore. And obviously with my older horses and with Berkeley's allergy issues, I need that. Like, that's something I use every day, all day. And I had mine just like cracked for some reason. And I had sent an email and it had gone unanswered. And I was like, this is so weird. Hay Gain kind of just ghosted the entire country. They didn't like tell us. They didn't take down their website, nothing. So obviously I was on the hunt for a full size hay steamer, because I feed a lot of horses with it. And anything smaller than that is just not efficient, because I feed more than a bale at a time. So anyway, I had posted about this like on my Facebook page, and I was like, does anybody know where anybody's selling a used one, like a half broken one? Like, I just need something.
You don't care anything.
Yeah, exactly. And my friend Jess, who actually lived in PA, I sold her. I had originally bought two full balers, and I ended up selling her my other one. And I messaged her, and I was like, do you still have that? Like, you want to sell it back, kind of thing? But she actually moved down to Aiken, and she was like, no, I can't sell it. Like, I use it all the time. It's amazing. I was like, yeah, it is. And she actually sent me like a screenshot of, in this South Carolina horse group page, one for sale. And I said, oh my gosh. Okay. So I immediately like was messaging that person, and it was available. And I said, perfect. Like, I want it. Like, I'll figure it out. She's like, oh, okay. Like, where do you live? I'm like, yeah, I live in Pennsylvania. So kudos to my friend Jess, who drove down and like checked it out for me and made sure everything worked and made sure it wasn't a scam, because I've been scammed many a times on Marketplace before. So that's great. And then Kirsten was the barn manager at the place where I bought it from, and she was so great in helping me get it. And then actually a listener, Allison, who's actually from Connecticut and is an eventer out there, she picked it up for me on her way back from Aiken.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Brought it to Connecticut. So I'm heading out tomorrow, actually, because it's in my mom's garage right now. So I can go pick that up and bring it home. And yeah, so I'm just super grateful. And I thought it was just such an awesome Rose story of how our podcast and everybody came together to help out my old and special needs horses. So I really appreciated that. So that was definitely my Rose, and how that all came together.
Definitely. I love that. That's
amazing.
I know.
So, So thanks to Allison. If you're, when you're listening to this, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Yeah. She was only going to charge me $50 too. And obviously I couldn't do that. I gave her more than that, but it was just awesome. My thorn, on the other hand, is that I have like a newer MS symptom, which is driving me up the wall. And my hands are like asleep all the time.
Oh.
Which is so freaking annoying. Like mucking stalls when you like have like pins and needles in your hands. It's awful. So that's not fun. I mean, they still work. It's just annoying. So I'm hoping that now that I just got my new infusion last week. So I'm hoping that goes away. Cause that, I mean, you don't think about how often you use something until it's like not the same anymore. So that would be my thorn. Cause like, as I'm brushing the horses, I'm like, oh, this is so weird.
Yeah.
It's like needles on it or nails on a chalkboard for me. Like that feeling. So I'm like, oh, I don't even want to use my hands cause like they're asleep. But yeah. So what about you guys? You want to go, Jeff?
Yeah, I can go. So my Rose is definitely, so we went to Ocala and we went and watched that League of Nations and we got to see it live. And it was some of the most incredible horses. It was so cool. It was.
They did such a nice job just hosting it.
Oh, it was at WEC and it was beautiful. And we got to see Thursday night and Saturday night, and the whole thing was amazing. And then to top it off, Quincy is back and he was fourth in the 100. So the whole week was amazing. And I showed, so it was such a fun week, like between me showing my little baby horse, watching some of the best in the world, you know, in America riding, they're all over Europe coming over here. And then Quincy finishing, he jumped double clean, like both in the first round and in the jump off to finish fourth in the 100. It was definitely my Rose was that week. It was so much fun. And then my thorn has nothing to do with horses because I'm just still a little, I mean, amazed that this even happened, to be honest. We were driving to school, dropped the kids off. Everything was good. I drive home and we listen to songs the whole way to school. They're singing, Hudson's singing, everything's great. Drop them off. I have a busy day. I go pick them up after lunch. And the lunch bunch, they do lunch a couple days a week at school. And the lunch bunch teacher goes, Abigail, wow, that's like so pretty. That's new. And I have tan interior in my car. She had drawn on a blue pin all over the back of my car. All over it. Everywhere. On the back of the headrest. All over the door. The door was blue. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh.
I am like.
That's my daily birth control reminder right there, Jess.
So I go. So Abigail, why did we draw? And I knew she had the pen because she had asked to, but she holds the pen. Like they don't draw on like random things. And she goes, and she'd asked for a piece of paper. And I said, we didn't have any. And she said, okay, never said anything. Hudson never saw it. I mean, we don't even know when she did it, but I had been going to school that morning. And she goes, well, I really just wanted to draw you a couple hearts.
Aww,
so you couldn't get sweetie. Mad at her, but I'm like, like I'm like steam going out of my thing. I called Doug. I'm like, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I came home and I took every chemical that is on this property and tried to like strip my car and it didn't really work. Then I went,
have you tried like a magic eraser? I feel like those things can do anything.
Well, I was going to try that. Then I didn't have one. I thought I had one of those. I took like, I mean, it was, I did this like baking soda, Blue Dawn water paste.
Okay, you did everything.
Oh, I did everything. And it looked nothing better. So then Doug and I went on Amazon and we both picked what we thought would be the best, right? One looked like came in as a chapstick and the other one was like liquid, right? And it says it gets off Sharpies, right? I didn't even have time. I had to go to try on this past weekend and help coach. So I just like took the chapstick looking one and like rubbed it on there. I'm not going to lie. I even in Robert, who works for us, I was like, Robert, I think I'm going crazy. I think it's looking better. And he's like, well, I mean, it's lighter. And I'm like, so then I did this one and it really looks better. I mean, I'm still probably another week of like scrubbing it, but I think I can get it out. But
that's good.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm going to have to like share the picture somehow because you guys, it was so bad. So bad.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, that is definitely probably the thorn of like my hopefully next 6 months because it's still on my door and on the headrest. It was everywhere. And I was like, Doug's like, we should have gotten black. And I was like, you didn't want black insides because it gets too hot. And he goes, yeah, but now I'm not sure about that. So
I mean, if it makes you feel better, my dog puked in my car a couple days ago.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it still has a little bit of a smell. So at least that doesn't smell.
No, thank goodness. Because my nose is so sensitive, that probably would take the cake, actually.
You guys are funny.
What do you have for us?
What about you?
So my rose is that I think I'm finally over the feral hump with Mikey. Yay! I don't know, something has finally clicked in the last couple of weeks where we're like, yeah, for the most part, getting work done without a whole lot of antics. And he's starting to feel like I can feel the fitness in him, you know, like we're doing harder things and he feels good and seems happy about the work. I took him to like a schooling show just to hack around over the weekend just to see if we're going to like lose our marbles in a public setting. And he was, you know, the same as he is at home, which is great. So he's getting some group turnout again. Like, so his life is almost back to normal, which is like almost surreal to say. It just feels like it's been so long, but I'm happy for him. It's all going well. So fingers crossed it continues to go well. And I don't know, maybe we'll horse show one of these days.
That's amazing, though.
I know, finally. So the turnout was like, I was trying to describe it to my friends, and I'm like, it's like the ultimate trust fall to like just let him go in the field with friends and just be like, I'm trusting you to not blow up your leg, okay? But like, you have to kind of rip the Band-Aid off, right? Like at some point, yep. It's like, you got to just let him go and try not to live in fear. But so it's still, I try not to think about it too much, but it's going well so far. He's still sound, knock on wood. My thorn. Oh my gosh. So my friend who's like very creative and talented and very good at girly stuff, like makeup, hair, like all the things like that I just don't think about. And I hate doing, like, I hate getting my hair colored because you spend 6 hours at the salon and it's a nightmare. So she's like, I could do your hair. I'm like, okay, great. So she's been coloring my hair for like, I don't know, a couple of years now. It's great. I get to hang out at my friend's house. She does my hair. She's removed that whole salon experience for me. Like for me, as somebody who hates doing that kind of stuff, it's amazing. But and she keeps convincing me to not cut my hair because she draws the line at like, okay, you need to go see a stylist to get your hair cut, you know? So since she's been doing my hair, I just haven't gotten it cut. And now it is so long. So when I took Mikey to the horse show over the weekend, you know, I put my hair in a hairnet at a horse show, like I'm neat and tidy. And it was, I guess it's what, been since October, probably since the makeover, since I put my hair in a hairnet. But like trying to shove all this hair in the helmet is a struggle.
A lot.
Yeah. Like I just, it's Tuesday. And so I was at the horse show Friday and I still have like a protruding line on my forehead from like my head trying to bust out of the helmet.
Oh my goodness.
Like, all right, this is the reminder. Like I need to get my hair cut.
Right.
I can't live like this anymore. But I'm just like, cause I'm just that type of person where it didn't matter. My hair was going in the hairnet one way or another and the helmet was going on my head, but yeah, it's time to cut the hair. That's what that means.
That is hysterical.
So that's my thorn, is this nice red line across my forehead today. But all right, so we got a mailbag from Jenny. She sent us an email, and I think this is a great question, and one I hope both of you have good answers for. Jenny wants to know, how the heck do you get a good lower leg that never moves when you're riding? I ride without stirrups for 5 minutes every couple rides, and I can do posting trot without stirrups, but it seems when I take back my stirrups, my ankles just get flappy again. Any off-horse exercises you guys think that could help her, or what do you do to train your lower leg to stay nice and in place when you're riding?
So a couple things. I love bar. Like when I was really, really into it, Pure Bar was my favorite. And so mm-hmm. I would go, and it just, the core and everything would help you. And you had to kind of figure out how to use different parts of your body and different muscles and everything else, like individually. So that is a huge one. And then most recently, one of the girls in our barn does kickboxing. And she says it's so great for balance and strength and core strength that she does that to help supplement her riding.
Interesting. I also loved bar. I think it's just a really great all body workout and just like excellent strength training. I like it a lot. For me, you know, I'm someone who has a long leg, and I just think that, like, investing in the flat work, man, and not just like, yes, no stirrups is great, but the more I became aware of like the biomechanics of myself and how my body affects my horse, I just felt like it fixed my leg, and it's just not even something I think about anymore. And it's something I'm fairly proud of. I am happy with my lower leg position, but I honestly think it's the dressage work, which is kind of funny because you're kind of like you ride looser and flappier, but you're using your legs in different ways. So then when I get in the jump tack, you kind of emulate that in some ways. So I think I would, my advice to you, Jenny, would be to invest in lessons that are maybe beyond what you normally do and kind of challenge your way of thinking and the way you approach your flat work, because I think you will learn a lot and it will change the way you use your leg.
Yeah. And actually, kind of what you were saying, Justine, I feel like this was kind of fixed for me when I started crossing over and riding Western. Same kind of thing, right? Your stirrups are much longer than you would ride for an equitation class. And I think the biggest thing, and Amelia talked about this too, and like making sure that you're not gripping with your legs, which sometimes, you know, it's counterintuitive, right? Make sure that when you're doing your without stirrups, that you're from your knee down, that you're just kind of keeping your leg there and you're not squeezing. Focus on really pushing your heel down and getting your weight down there and not holding on with your leg. It's easier to explain with Western, right? Because a lot of Western horses are kind of the opposite, right? If you start squeezing too much, they're going to slow down, or, you know, it's not going to have the desired effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that'll be the biggest help. I mean, honestly, drop your stirrups a couple holes and ride with them longer. And then when you come back to shorter, that'll really help you out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So try some different things. I think a lot of people too, like when you ride without stirrups, and especially if you're just thinking about it from like you're trying to build strength, people get that like turned out hip position, right? And then you're riding off the back of your calf, which is putting you, that's not where you want to be, right? You're using your leg incorrectly. You want your toes in. So think about that too. If you're going to do no stirrup exercises, is trying to keep that leg from your hips instead of pointing out where you're using the back of your calf. Does that make sense? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Right.
If you want to ask us a question, you can always post it in the Heels Down Facebook group, the Heels Down Podcast Lounge, or you can send us an email at hello@heelsdownmedia.com.
And if you want to hear more from us, you can check out heelsdownmag.com for the latest news. And please follow us on social. We're Heels Down Happy Hour on Instagram and Facebook. And if you love our show, please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to say thank you to all of our partners this month: Purina, Zero Proof Horse Treats, Live Eck, and Kinetic Vet. All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Cheers! Cheers.